These Sunday mornings, when I arrive at Old South Church late for the 9 a.m. service, I'm flanked by two boys that dress themselves in light-up rain boots, backpacks, tie-dye, neon. Old South is a wonderful place for me to be with my children. It allows them to physically move, ask questions, eat, and wonder in the way that young children do, noisily and messily. Old South teaches my boys and guides them in their spiritual development through godly play. Old South models for them the way to be inclusive, caring, and brave. As a parent, I am grateful for all that Old South provides. The first Sunday morning when I arrived at Old South, I was not yet a parent. I was a recent college graduate looking for a church home. I became a member of Old South because it's the best place for me to grow as a Christian. Old South allows me to pray, think, sing, and reflect in ways that help me truly to connect to Christ. Old South has taught me that despite my doubts, questions, and politics, I am a Christian. Old South has led me to become a faith leader. As a person in search of God, I am grateful for all that Old South provides me. In the Venn diagram of what we need for ourselves and what we need to do as parents, there can be very little in that middle part. As parents of young children, my husband and I make decisions and center our lives around what's best for our children. As it should be, we often sacrifice our own wants and desires to pay for childcare, to save for college, drive them to activities, and read that same bedtime story every night. Old South is that thin space in the Venn diagram of my life. Right there. What I need for myself and what I need to do for Sam and Eli, it overlaps. When I bring my sons to worship with me, they are present with me in a truly sacred space. They sit or play or color or eat by my side while I listen, sing, and pray. While I am grateful for all the ways that the early service suits them, I am most grateful for the way it allows me to share the most central part of who I am with them. Sam and Eli get to see me in a way that is unique from my Monday through Saturday self. They ask me questions about God and Christ and learn how my faith guides my life. They get to know my favorite hymns and my posture in prayer. I am grateful to Old South for providing a space where we can be in communion with the Holy Spirit together. Of all the gifts I give my sons and of all the ways in which I prepare them to be, hopefully, responsible and caring adults, this church, and this faith journey, this is the best one.
Being part of the faith community at Old South Church is important to me because of the ways I'm included in many different activities. An example of this is being with people who care about making our world a better place and showing me how to do this also. One way this happens at Old South is when the church takes on lots of different tasks. Climate change has been a big one. One of the things we've done to prevent climate change is using reusable mugs, utensils, and plates. Also, Old South has taken action with the Kindness Counts project. It is helping me pay more attention to what I do and the people around me. An example of putting my kindness into action is by including everybody who wants to participate in activities such as games and conversations. Another way I'm included in the faith community is through godly play. The teachers of godly play help us understand Bible stories and how we can relate them in our world. One story I especially remember is the Good Samaritan. In this story, a man is injured, and many people pass but do not help. Finally, someone comes along and helps the injured person by giving him what he needs. The lesson from this story is how everybody has the power to help, and all are worthy of having dignity and being supported. One more example of participating in the faith community is through choir. When I make music with the choir, it gives me a chance to share my voice to uplift others. These are a few of the ways I am participating in Old South and growing in faith.
Catherine asked me to speak as a member of the young adults in this church. The first thing that went through my mind is that I will celebrate my 30th birthday in 2 months. Hence, on the one hand, I wasn't sure if I'm the right candidate to represent the young adults. On the other hand, I realized something that people in their 20s tend to forget. I am an adult now. Being almost 30, I am in an age where the previous generation hands over the responsibilities to me and my generation to shape not only this country, but also the world over the course of the next 30 to 40 years. This happens in a time where all over the world we see the rise of governments that promote anger, fear, hate, and selfishness. It's a world where personal interests are more important than the well-being of humankind in this planet. A world where people don't trust each other anymore. A world where everything that's different and foreign is bad. You might ask, what does this have to do with finding my way as a person of faith? You see, I find it harder and harder to stand up to this environment and follow the Christian path. Being kind, helpful, and forgiving are attributes that are considered as weak, as traits that won't bring you far in life these days. Working in academic research doesn't make that easier. It's a field that is based on competition. Acts of grace, care, forgiveness, and understanding are very rare. As every day your colleague, peers, or a competitor could find the answer to the problem you have been looking for the past 3 years. Altogether, this often makes me ask, whether is it worth it, the effort to make a change toward the current hostile environment? And it's easy to give up these days. But then I come here on Sundays, and it's like a spa for your soul. Every time I come here, I'm amazed by the kindness and openness of this church. It's a place where instead of turning people away, we welcome them with open arms. A place where we trust each other, a place where we support each other, a place where we forgive each other, and a place where we love each other. Finding my way through this church for me means to take this positive mindset and act upon it in my daily life. But even more important, finding my way for me also means to not be discouraged by the bad experience in my life. To come to this church, tell about my fears, find comfort in God and His community, and go back out there with new energy. I hope by doing so, I can have an impact on other people in my life and contribute toward making this world a better place. So I can hand it over to the next generation, knowing that I, through this church, shaped it to become more like God's kingdom.
Settled down and serving. It's always a challenge for me to accept a label about where I am when it comes to faith and with my own age. I'm currently in an Old South Young Adults book group, but each morning I look in the mirror and see more and more gray hair reflecting back of me. And last month I got 2 invitations in the mail to join AARP. These contradictions seem to have always been a part of me. My dad is an ordained minister, so at times I'm labeled a PK for a preacher's kid, but that didn't always feel right because he wasn't an acting pastor while I was growing up. Sure, there were plenty of guest spots for him to tell embarrassing stories about me in sermons, but they were at churches I knew I never had to go back to. My own faith journey has been a bit of a windy road. I was baptized a Baptist, a year late because I dropped out of the class the first time. I was confirmed a Methodist in junior high. I spent college as an on-again, off-again Presbyterian, and then I attended the church that was both Baptist and UCC. Then I entered my long, church is not for me, late phase. It was the simplest label that I could come up with. 2 stories have led me to Old South in different ways. I was in high school when my grandmother passed away. The Southern Baptist Church my grandparents attended was slowly graying, and with the gray came a request to the organist, please keep it just a little bit quieter. Before we walked in for the funeral, my mom told me one of my grandmother's requests was to have the organ played at full volume. My mind drifted between thoughts of my grandmother and staring at the organ pipes. I had never considered how loud an instrument of that size could get, and I was ready to cover my ears. But it never got too loud for me. The pew rumbled a bit amidst a beautiful song, and then the funeral was over. A decade later, in April of 2010, I was in Boston over Easter weekend for a work trip. This was during my church isn't for me phase, but the faith I had tried to wall off and keep aside was knocking just a little bit, and it seemed anonymous enough. So after a quick Google search in the hotel room, I came here for Easter morning service the next day. The service began with brass and organ, cello, a wonderful welcome from Quinn Caldwell. And then Nancy's sermon gave me yet another window into this unique place, using the sentence that I'm taking out of context here. Easter is the story of the God who invented gravitation, concocted thermodynamics, and energized photons. I doubt energized photons is a frequent Easter sermon phrase, and it made me intrigued. Her sermon brought worlds and words together that some seem to want to compartmentalize into two different things. That this church was active and alive in the physical world around me, I wasn't quite sure how to label that. And then my pew began to rumble and shake and vibrate as the giant low notes on this organ were held for a long time. In the midst of an Easter service, I was immediately taken back to my grandmother's funeral and thoughts of family. That a service about resurrection took me back to a funeral was a bit overwhelming. That was the opposite direction we were supposed to go on Easter Sunday. Labels and order again felt out of place, but the thin wall that I had built started to have a few cracks to ease church isn't for me. For the next year while living in North Carolina, I went for hikes on Sunday morning and I listened to the Old South podcast. It was through these hikes and these podcasts that I began to question where the labels had come from and why I had defined church in a certain way. I had a lot of questions. And then I moved to Boston a year later and began attending Old South Church, but I tried to be an in-person podcast listener, sit in the pew, attend the service, and do my best to duck out without conversation. And Old South respected that for just a little bit, and then it started to pull me in. I began to learn names. I found myself on a committee that met in people's homes for breakfast to do our work. However, despite the fact that I joined this community, it was still hard to shake years of telling others and telling myself that church wasn't for me. But Old South showed me an inclusive God and theology, what I had long sought without the vocabulary to articulate, that finite labels didn't drive the ability to have faith or to be a part of church. Old South was a place to find others with zigzagging paths, with doubt, and others full of conviction. Old South embraced me where I was, but it didn't let me languish there, nor did it provide a simple or singular answer. Whether through committees, ushering, book groups, deaconing, retreats, or determining my ability to pledge each year, I'm ready to continue learning what it means to serve. Each time the pew beneath me rumbles from our organ, I'm immediately reminded of my family and my own winding road that got me here. And then I look around at this church family, at you, that I've settled in with and begun to serve alongside. No more labels needed.
Growing up, I attended church regularly with my family. It was really important to my mom that we were active members of the church, meaning that we participate in every activity in the church. So as I grew older and I was able to make my own choices, I decided to continue to go to church. Of course, that was very important to me. However, I always wanted to stay under the radar, just kind of sneak in, get what I need, and go on my way. Well, around 2010, 2011 or so, I walked into Old South. The church was, of course, standing like this huge building in the city of Boston, and it was inviting me to come in. Came into the service, and I was blown away. I was moved immediately. But of course, old habits are hard to break. Didn't want to jump right in, so I continued to come back and visit over time. A few years later, my daughter was born. At that point, I decided, okay, it's very important to give her a foundation. And so we decided to officially make Old South our home. And so we joined the church. Although we joined the church, I was still in the mindset of staying under the radar. But as time went on, the church is involved in so many things in the community, so many things that are dear to my heart, so many things that I want to be part of, that as time went on, I began to participate in various activities throughout the community. And Now I'm participating on committees. I no longer feel a need to stay under the radar because this certainly feels at home. I feel at home, and I feel like I'm getting the spiritual growth that I need, and I also feel that I can contribute. So my mother was right. When you're part of a church community, it's really important to be active and to give back. So I'm here this morning, not under the radar, to say that this Old South is my home church, and I feel so spiritually blessed, and I'm looking so forward to giving my daughter the foundation here at Old South Church.
Some years ago, I was working in the North Shore Mall with my GE Capital job, and I had a phone and an iPhone and an iPad out working feverishly when a young woman asked if she could talk to me. She wanted to interview me. She said she was working for a local newspaper and was doing a study on how older people are adapting to new technologies. I actually wanted to walk away from her, but I talked, and here I am again representing growing older. I have to tell you, apologies were not needed for assigning me the senior adult part of this illustrious group, because I really don't mind being where I am today at 70 years old. I don't mind because I have so much life in my life. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Why, I even have a Bitmoji. Some of you don't know what that is. I'll tell you later. Because when you have a Bitmoji, you can make yourself look any way you want. I have friends who are much older than me. I have also friends who could be my grandchildren. Yes, I have life in my life. A former minister in this church used to have a favorite saying. He would say YOLO a lot, meaning you only live once. Well, I want to take exception to that adage, because I have been renewed in my life so many times in my many years on this earth. I've been renewed in the form of the people of God, functioning as the people of God in churches like this one. There have been times in my life when I was ready to give up, times when I didn't want to come to church anymore, like Jonathan. There were times when my family disappointed me. There were times when I was deep in grief, times when I felt very far away from God and her love for me. But God, and sometimes, many times, God through the church kept reaching out and gathering me back in and extending a loving arm around me. When I was dealing with the death of my partner Richard in 2007 in Atlanta, God's people loved me and caressed me so that I never felt alone one day. I moved to New England in 2008. Not knowing one soul up here. I left everybody I knew in Georgia. But then I found out that there was a church in Worcester, where I was living at the time, that was actually being pastored by my former seminary professor. Who would have thought that? So the church and God drew me back in. I moved to Cambridge in 2013 and thought, again, that I was just going to not go to church anymore. I had done my share. I was feeling let down by the denomination that I grew up in. I was feeling alienated by some of my family. My job was demanding. Why not just let church slip by the wayside? It would be easy. But then I happened to visit Old South Church one summer Sunday in 2013. I didn't know anyone, so I sat about halfway back there on the aisle. didn't know anyone, and I was just going to slip out the back door. I didn't know anyone, but soon Ron Buford happened in my life. I remember, some of you know him, so you'll appreciate this. I remember so much his warm welcome, and soon I was totally engaged with him, standing at the back door in the narthex out there. I was totally engaged with him as he introduced me to his church. I remember so much his warm welcome. I was already impressed by the summer choir that I had heard a few minutes earlier. And when I told him that, he said, "Oh, you sing. I need to introduce you to Harry." So he took me immediately to Harry Huff and introduced me to him, and soon I had an invitation to join the choir the very next week. No one cared that I was not a member of this church. No one asked for my religious pedigree. They just welcomed me in. Nancy learned that I was an ordained minister in telling our story, and she said to me one day, "How do you feel about doing," I think she said, "a wedding." This is how she gathers you in. "How do you feel about doing a wedding or two?" Soon I was being included in that wonderful group of ordained folks, retired folks in this church who call Old South home. Soon I was standing in the driving snow and sleet out on Boylston Street, imposing ashes on total strangers who are the people of God out there. Soon, I was helping in the summer garden, crawling around on my hands and knees, pulling weeds and planting for the summer. Soon, I was standing shoulder to shoulder with you people, you good God's people, in the common as we were at the Women's March. I was standing shoulder to shoulder with you as we stood up for people's rights who were less fortunate than us and were in ICE detention. I worked in GBIO marches and GBIO meetings. Soon I was helping to plan education for the church in the Spiritual Formation Committee. The places I have served in this church is so long, but it's also so life-giving. Every time I accept another job offered me by Nancy or one of the other ministers or a committee chairperson, I am embraced one more time by God through this church. So I want to leave you this morning with this invitation. Be inviting. Be engaging. Be welcoming to the stranger among us. Sing in a choir. There's three of them you can choose from. Join a small group and invite someone to go to the small group with you. That's reaching out. Take someone out for a cup of coffee. You know you can do it free if you take them right across the hall into the community hour. Won't cost you a penny. But it'll be good for you and it'll be good for the person that you're taking with you. Be the church. Be the hands, the arms, and the feet of God in this place called Old South Church. Be the church. Be who God called you to be, and you will be blessed for it. No, I don't mind being in the growing old category, because those of us with the graying hair have so much to give, and we have so much to do, and so do you. Whether you're younger or middle, no, I'm not going to call you middle-aged. No. Or older, like myself, you have so much to do. You have so much to give. Find your place of service in this great church called Old South, and you will be blessed for it.